Thank you very much, Reb Chaim Doiv. I will not be singing here tonight, maybe by the 23rd annual dinner. B'shus all the Choshev Rabbanim that have joined us tonight. It's a great evening with wonderful honorees. On the one hand, the guests of honor, Meir and Shoshana Badush, Sephardic, Yidden, which we know the Sephardim, and they, Meir and Shoshana, certainly hold true to this reputation of respect of Rabbanim, respect for a Beis HaKnesses, respect for a Beis HaMedrash and the Chashivas of learning and davening. It's an honor that they are our guests of honor this evening. And our very own Rav Menashe and his Mishpacha, the Benedicts, which their Simchas HaChayim, which not only do they keep in their own family, but it spreads out to so many others. A few words of thank you for this evening. First to our president, Dr. Israel Pendrak. He sleeps with the kollel in his mind, making sure that everything is going to be right and that the kollel could always be successful and thrive and grow. Right behind him is a very dedicated vice president whose blood runs with kollel blood, David Kozlov, a great yasher koyach, for the passion that he has for the kollel and its yungalite and the Torah, which of course he gets from his wonderful parents, our dedicated longtime supporters, Ted and Phyllis. A very special dinner committee we had this year, Reb Chaim Doiv and his Rebbetzin, and special journal chair people, Daniel and Amy Earlbaum, thank you so much for your participation. This dinner committee is led very ably by the backbone of the entire dinner. I mean the backbone of the dinner, the one who has to deal with the caterer and the hall and the photographer and so many things in between. Yet Rabbi Zephron also has time on the day of the dinner to speak to somebody who needs a ride to the Springfield Country Club. I'll find you a ride, not a problem. Baruch Hashem, the kollel has enjoyed a lot of creativity throughout the years. And that's because Rabbi Prupus's mind, whenever he's not learning, whenever he's not teaching, his mind is churning. And indeed, he wakes up at 2:30 in the morning, and he says, I have another idea for the video. And he quickly emails it to the people who have to know this. And this is what we're going to see tonight and throughout the year. A lot of our programs come from the magic that Rabbi Yosef Prupus has to the kollel. We want to thank the Rosner Mishpacha, Jeff and Sarah Rosner, for dedicating this year's dinner. Lila Nishmas, the beloved son, Yossi Yosef Simcha Chaim, Ben Yibur L'Chaim, Shlemi Yehuda. And I would say one thing. It was a tough year for our community. But throughout, and even after the tragic news, the inspiration that we all got from the rock solid emunah of the Rosner Mishpacha is truly amazing. And they continue to be an inspiration, and that should be a continuous schus for Yossi's neshama in Gan Eden. And finally, we thank everybody for joining us tonight. from all of the Choshuva Balabatim, for all those to come to learn in the Kollel, all the supporters, our wonderful alumni and their families, represented tonight by one of their best, the Benedict Mishpacha, and Achron Choviv, our Choshuva Yungalait and their wives, Bruchim Aboim. Gemara tells us that David HaMelech was once punished when they brought the Aron to Yerushalayim. The Aron seemed to be falling off of the wagon, and Uzzah, who was there by the wagon, wanted to protect the Aron, save it from falling. So he reached out to grab it. It was a tragic ending. And the Gemara tells us that was because it was a punishment, a direct punishment to David HaMelech. Why did something tragic happen to Uzzah? Because he thought that the Torah needs to be upheld. The Torah doesn't need to be upheld. The Torah upholds everybody who grabs onto it. But why was David punished? And the Gemara tells us because David called the Torah a zemer, a song. Zmirois hoyu li chukecha. When David HaMelech was running away, being pursued by enemies, he said, I still have the Torah. It's my song. And Hashem says, the Torah is a song. For that you'll be punished. It seems the question is obvious in light of our theme tonight, Shiras HaTorah. The Torah itself calls the Torah a song. You should write this song down. But how could David be punished by calling the Torah Zmiris if the Torah itself calls the Torah Shira? This question was asked to the Vilna Gaon. And the Vilna Gaon's Teretz says his answer was there's a difference between Shira and Zemer. Zemer is a song with words, with notes, but it's fixed, it's finite. Shira is something that just bursts forth from within a person, from the heart of a person. And that's how the Torah has to be. It has to be so ingrained in us, has to be so delectable to us, so beloved to us, that it's not just fixed and finite, but it bursts forth into a song. But there's another answer that I saw in the Sefer of Acharta Bachayim from David Goldberg. He gives a different answer. And just to predicate his answer, to appreciate it, understand it in its fullest, just want to relate over a story which I heard. I don't know if all the details of the story are accurate, but it's a good story anyway, so we'll just say over the story. Goes back to the 90s. There was an organization that made a raffle, and they really wanted to pull in big bucks, so they had someone connected in the organization, was affiliated, politically connected to the president of the time. His name was Bill Clinton. Again, some of the details of the story may not be accurate. The entire story may not be accurate, but it's a good story anyway, so we're going to say the story. And they asked Mr. Clinton, could we make it that one of the prizes is that whoever with this prize will get a visit from the president himself in his home for 15 minutes. Lo and behold, the president agreed. What did you believe it? A Yid from Borough Park won the winning raffle. Amazing. There's a debate. Do we let him into our house? Not. Some of the details may not be accurate in the story. The story may not be even entirely true, but it's a good story, so we'll say it. So the Yid, he was all nervous. What am I going to do? I don't know anything about politics. What am I supposed to do? His wife says, the president, what are we supposed to serve the president? I guess things that are oilal shulchan malachim. I mean, what do you serve the president? Good herring and kichel, a good shalint. Shalint is Tuesday afternoon, they're coming. The day comes finally, and the entire 53rd Street, all the way from 9th Avenue until 18th Avenue, is closed off by the Secret Service. Shemesh Shabbos had a lot of trouble that day finding Minyanim for Mincha Maariv on 53rd Street. And the meeting comes, 3 o'clock comes, and in walks the Secret Service with all the photographers, and they sit him down at the table. Now, this Yid did some homework. So what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to talk to the president about? He had a friend, and this friend was very well connected. He says, you know, I have a cousin. My cousin actually went to Yale the same time as Bill Clinton was there in law school. Let me ask him about it. And he came back with information, and he says, you know, this fellow, Bill Clinton, he likes music. And there's one particular piece of music played on the piano. He goes crazy over that. He loves that. This Yid happens to be, he played piano. So he learned that piece. And when the president came to his house that day, they schmoozed a little bit. And then he says, you know, Mr. President, I have a little surprise for you. Oh, surprise. I love surprises. Great. And he sits down at his piano and he plays this piece. And throughout the piece, you could see Mr. Clinton's face is beaming. And finally, he ends and it's time to leave. The Secret Service says, it's time to go on. Our next meeting is calling us. And the president tells this Yid, I tell you, I go to a lot of different functions, a lot of affairs. I meet with great prime ministers, presidents, queens, and I have all sorts of food. Never herring and kichel. But I tell you, one thing that you did for me is that you put some thought into it. What do I like? What speaks to my heart? What speaks to my soul? And you knew it was that piece of music. My friends, when we say that the Torah is a Shira, it means it's a song to the Eibishter. Kisvu lachem es Hashira Zois. When we sit and learn in our homes and in the Beis Medrash, that is a song to the Eibishter. We're singing a song that touches HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nefesh HaChaim writes this in Perik Yudalad of Shar Dalad. It's the words of Torah go up, and it's Shiras v'sishpachos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zmiras Hayuli. It's a song for me, David. It's not a song for you. You can enjoy while you're singing. But the song of Torah is a song for Hashem. When we sit across from a chavrus in the kol, when we come and listen to a shir, maybe even on one of the devices that communicate shiurim, and we say words of Torah, that's a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on high. That's sending up beautiful notes, and it gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu a delight. And he says, Bonai, you did something that I cherish. I love when you daven. It gives me great nachas when you do mitzvahs. But when you sing the song of Torah that touches kaviyochel, a chord in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gives him more pleasure than anything else. This, my friends, is the Shira HaTorah, the song of Torah that we all are privileged to sing every day. Thank you very much.